Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Am I close enough? Can you hear me okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for that introduction. That was great. It's humbling. I think it has been almost 3 years since we've been here, and we are just so appreciative for the opportunity to come and share with you guys and maybe give a little bit about our background again and some of the details of Kingdom AmeriCorps, and then some updates, too. Like Vic mentioned, there's some exciting things that happened this summer, and so we'll do all that. I really appreciated what Tim shared along the history of this church. I hadn't heard a lot of that before, but it's really obvious how mission-minded you all are, and we've been the direct benefits of that. We're really, really appreciative of your partnership over the past 3 years, not only financially, but in other ways, a lot of prayer. Pastor Sutter reaches out often and takes good care of me and of us, and so we really, really appreciate it. And the ministry that we're going to talk about this morning, it is just as much yours as it is ours. We couldn't go there and do that without people and churches like you all sending us, so there's a lot of gratitude coming from us, so we really appreciate that. So before we get started, I think Stacy wants to update you on our family. There's been a few things that have changed in 3 years.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So we have 6 kids, for those of you that don't know, and these are the 3 that are with us in Alaska. We have 3 boys first and then 3 girls. Maybe I'm putting it at the wrong one. There it is. This is our oldest, Dennis Michael. He is an IT guy with the United States Navy, and he was stationed in Washington until hopefully just recently. He's supposed to be moving to the East Coast, Maryland, with his new bride, Naja. They got married in June, and she is a software engineer with Microsoft. And they actually got to come up to Alaska for a week after they got married. And so we had so much fun because Dennis had, he joined the Navy before we started our mission, before God changed our family dynamic to look at missions. So he has never been to Alaska. And she had never been to Alaska either, and she liked to travel. So they came up to visit, which was super exciting. This is our second born, Evan. He actually lives in Pottstown, PA, just right. I'm not sure which direction, but it's really close. It's really close. And he just got engaged in October to a wonderful young woman, Bree, and he is a machinist. He works in Pottstown, and she is a occupational therapist that works with kids in the school system. This is our, I'm pointing it in the wrong area again, sorry. This is our youngest son, Ian. He got married in January to his bride, Poppy, and he works with a concrete company making forms. He's enjoying it, and they just told us they're expecting. So next June, we're going to have a little grandbaby, whoever he or she is, and so we'll be making another trip back from Alaska to meet them for the first time. And then we have the 3 girls with us. And this is us dip netting fishing last year for salmon. Emma is not here today. She is graduated high school last May, so when we get back, we'll get a job. And then Lynn is 11th grade. Sorry, lost my place for a second. Lynn is 11th grade, and Clara is 9th grade. And so we're still in school and all that fun stuff.
So Stacy mentioned that in this picture, we were dip netting. Has anybody ever gone dip netting or heard of it? Well, it's in Alaska in the later part of July. It's when the salmon, they're all returning to spawn and then to die. And so during this time of the summer, they're just running like crazy. And they're in all the rivers, and they're just thick, like a swarm of birds, but with fish. And so you get on a boat like we did here, and you've got a long pole with a 5-foot diameter net on it, and you just set that net down in the water, and the salmon will just swim into it. You bring them in, flop them into the boat, put your net back in. And we did that for, maybe 5 hours or so, and we got well over 40 fish. And so we have a freezer full, and so it's just a really neat thing. So if you ever go to Alaska, it's a really fun thing to do. So just a little bit about our background. I know we talked about this when we were here before, but just a little refresher as to how we got into ministry and into missions in the first place. The Lord uses many different ways to get a hold of people's hearts, and he used a book for me. It started with me. I was reading the book called Radical by David Platt, and throughout reading that book, the Lord just really gave me some instant changes in my priorities to where I knew that I needed to be involved with spreading the gospel vocationally, and that it wasn't going to be somewhere where I was. It was going to be somewhere far away. And so, you know, he brought these questions and these ideas to us, and so we were faced with a decision back then, back in 2019. What are we going to do? You have to respond to the Lord somehow. And at the same time, he brought some scriptures really into focus for us. They're ones that we had heard of before, and they should be on the screen. So I'm just going to talk about these for a minute. Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So these verses, the theme is self-denial, giving your life over to the Lord, totally death to self. Well, for a guy like me who was just living in comfort zones, I'm a very, routine, I guess, person. And so I had my comfort zones all mapped out, and I would not really want to go on the outside of them. And so here we are being called into missions, and it was a difficult thing. And then it spread to a decision that we had to make as a family. So here we are faced with this decision to go somewhere else, 5,000 miles away, change everything we've ever known and give up everything we've ever known. And it was hard. But the Lord used these scriptures to help us make the decision. And since then, since we've been in Alaska, there have been a lot of times where it's been a struggle to keep going. Just like I'm sure many of you struggle, life as a believer and as a disciple is hard. But these verses have helped us. They've become sort of the framework for our family and for our lives. And it's just been they've been a reminder for us of God's vision for us and also his vision for the rest of the world. And so we know that he doesn't want to have anybody lost in the world. He wants to reach everyone that's out there. And so Kingdom Air Corps, which is what we're going to talk a little bit about today, they're just one small part of what he's doing in the world. But it's a really neat part, and we enjoy what the Lord is doing there, and we enjoy the work that we do there. We want to start things off with a video. We showed a video 3 years ago. We have a brand new one that is only about a year old, and it's a short one, and it features our founder, Dwayne King, who many of you may know or have heard of, and then some other folks on our staff. So we'll play that and then come back.
I was 16.
Oh, wow.
I'd read the book Jungle Pilot, the story of Nate Saint and the five missionaries that died in Ecuador. Got in a DC-3, which was a C-47. I wanted to go into mission aviation.
I'd always wanted to learn to fly. There was some ground school that an instructor was teaching here at Kingdom Air Corps, and I started doing that ground school, and Dwayne sat me down and asked me, "Do you want to learn to fly?" "Yes." And then he asked me, "Well, have you thought about mission aviation?" And I hadn't. And he made it just extremely clear. He said, "Alaska needs Christian bush pilots. But at Kingdom Air Corps, we train missionaries. So pray about it." And I took that seriously, and I did. I prayed about it, and I just felt the Lord leading me into mission aviation. I was 15.
I love the excitement and the just the opportunities that you see when you intermingle with students who are just starting out in missions.
Seeing how the Lord's working in everyone's lives is just such a joy to see.
There's no way that we could even operate now, let alone expand, without volunteers. There's a lot to it.
Applicants apply to come here, and if they're accepted, they get to come, and they use the aircraft for the cost of the airplane instead of for a rental fee where someone's making profit. And then they get their instruction for free. So flight instructors like me come up and volunteer our services so that they can get on the mission field as quickly as possible and without any debt for paying for flight training. This is a place that has airplanes and Jesus, and those are two of my favorite things.
It wasn't until recently my brother passed, and it really just changed the way I look at things, the way I looked at life.
And Jesus.
I just would prayed and fasted, and I told the Lord, like, through this event, I want to get closer to you. And he opened my eyes to missions.
Our whole life is to be a long-term mission trip. I don't want to just check a box on a short-term mission trip and say, there, I've done it. Whether I'm in the air or on the ground, I want to be in the mission field.
Well, what keeps me going is the fact that God has given me the energy, the mind, the heart, and the passion to get the gospel across the globe. So when you have that and you know it's from the Lord, here I am. I can still keep going, hopping, skipping, jumping, though I'm squeaking, creaking, and leaking. I am able to go, and I want to serve the Lord and die in my boots.
So for any of you that know Dwayne, I know Vic knows Dwayne well, and others may know him or have heard of him, but he is still very active. He's 83. He turned 83 in September. He's still very, very active. He comes to this part of the world for the wintertime. He lives in Chambersburg, and he's developing some flight training in that area. And then he comes and spends the summers with us up in Alaska, and he is still involved. He, like he said in the video, he wants to die with his boots on, and so... he is the guy that keeps the vision in front of all of us, and he reminds us of why we do what we do, and it's just really neat. So Kingdom Air Corps, for those that don't know, it's located in South Central Alaska, right where that red dot is, about 90 miles northeast of Anchorage. And the mission of Kingdom Air Corps, the official mission, is to train missionaries and missionary pilots to evangelize the isolated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we focus on the isolated. I don't have a slide for this, but there's a stat, there's a website. It's called joshuaproject.net. And they keep track of the different nations in the world and how much they've been evangelized. And they nerd out on all that stuff. And according to their website last year, there's still 7,200 unreached people groups in the world. That means they've never heard of Jesus, or there's no gospel presence close to them that would grow without somebody coming in. So 7,200, so that's millions and millions and millions and millions of people still that don't know and that need to be reached. And many of them don't know because they're so remote. Well, Kingdom Air Corps, we teach people that want to be missionaries, that want to spread that gospel. We teach them how to fly so that they can go and reach those people. And we do this two really, really neat ways. Well, three. Number one, it's super expensive. It's super inexpensive at Kingdom Air Corps to come and get flight training. The average cost of a private pilot's license, which, are there any pilots in the room? Okay, well, private pilot is the first rung on the ladder for aviation. That, on average, costs between $15,000 and $20,000. At Kingdom Air Corps, you can come for a summer and spend anywhere from 40 to 100 flight hours and maybe pay between $3,000 and $5,000. And that's donations towards flight fuel and room and board. So there's no instructor fees or anything like that. It's all done volunteer. So when these students, they get done with their training, they can get onto the mission field much faster. They don't have debt. They're not bogged down with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. So that's amazing. These are the flight students we had this past year. Just a quick snapshot. We had 9 of them. And another reason why it's so cool at Kingdom Air Corps is the place that we do it. There are mountains. There's wind, all kinds of different weather, all kinds of different surfaces to land on, like grass, gravel, and some of our advanced students even learn how to land on riverbeds. So a good friend of mine says, you should explain that Kingdom Air Corps is like the Navy SEAL boot camp for flight training, just because of where we do it. And then the third thing that we do is we really just started focusing on a couple of years ago was the spiritual emphasis for our flight students. And so we have different speakers will come up and do different seminars and missions classes on all types of different missions topics. So when the students get done training at Kingdom Air Corps, they're well-rounded, and they're super prepared to go out onto the mission field. And so we've got a lot of alumni over the years. I think we've trained over 200 or so flight students. And because of the training and all that we've done, we've got they're all over the country in 20 plus different missions serving around the world. And so we want to highlight one of those this morning. Matt and Janine Condon, do we have a picture of them or just a video? this is a family that we've gotten to know, Stacy and I, and our girls have gotten to know. They've gotten their flight training at Kingdom Air Corps, not all of it, but they came for two full summers. And they now live in Papua New Guinea, and they serve with Samaritan Aviation. And Matt's a float plane pilot, and he does mostly medevac stuff. And this is a third world country. I mean, this is like when you think of a missionary, this is like, I mean, there's still loincloths in some of the places that he goes to. So it's really still primitive. And so this video shows his first solo flight. So it's kind of a celebration video, but it shows so much what he's doing. And it's cool because it's full circle for a Kingdom Air Corps student. They come and they get training with us, and now they're actually doing it on the mission field. So we're going to play that.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hey, Matt. I just got off the phone with Samba. They have a lady who delivered last night.
Okay.
She's delivered a healthy baby, but retained placenta, and she's had quite a bit of bleeding through the night. Her vitals are stable, but really think that we need to get her as soon as we can. I'm going to say probably take a nurse with us on this flight as well. I think it would be best for mom and baby.
Okay.
They said that they could be down at the lagoon, our normal Samban pickup location, by about 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Do you mind picking up a nurse and have them take care of that?
Not at all, yeah. So I'll go ahead and get a nurse and then plan for wheels up 9:30.
Yep, all right. Appreciate that, Matt.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Check. Here we go. Margin 1267, four planes, Sierra Alpha, Bravo, taxi, we left.
Sierra Alpha, Bravo, to the head.
Sierra Alpha, Bravo, taxi, we whack for Cambaramba, not about 3,000, POB 2, details on departure. All stations, we whack 1267, foot plane, Sierra Alpha, Bravo, taxi, backtrack 10 for a southeastern departure, not about 3,000. All stations, we whack.
But I'm evicting once I will get down. And then behind me go. Me on my mask through. Okay, me evicting. Papa God, thank you, true Lord, just for day. Papa God, thank you, true Lord. Oh, get the mad Mary, stop right here, Papa God. Papa God, thank you, Lord, just for sick Mary.
We unloaded Paulina and her day-old baby. Our team helped load them into the ambulance, where we then took them to the hospital. Once at the hospital, she was seen by the doctors and cared for by the nurses. They removed her placenta safely, and she was released 4 days later. We and our team were able to visit her each of the days she was there. We were able to share the gospel with her and her husband, giving an audio Bible to them, praying with them, and provide toiletries and extra food. We're so relieved and thankful to know she's safe to go back home. And now, with some resources to help her get to know her Heavenly Father and hopefully come to a true understanding of who she is and who God the Father is.
So it never gets old for us to watch that video. We watched Matt get his commercial pilot's license in a plane just like that one, 206, didn't have floats on it, up in Alaska. We have a 206. He trained in that. Now he's flying one. He got his float rating in Alaska, and we watched them go through language school. He was speaking in Pidgin, the official language, and they pray the gospel over everybody that comes into their airplane, and that's what he was doing. And then just do all kinds of a bunch of different follow-up and things. But mission aviation is so important in countries like that, because for that woman to get to the hospital without an airplane, it's a four-hour boat ride. On an airplane, it's 30 minutes. And so you can see, I mean, it's a no-brainer. If you can fly, if somebody's got medical issues, if you can get them there in 30 minutes, it's way better than 4 hours. And sometimes it's a matter of life and death. And so we just love to share that. It's super exciting for us, especially since we know who they are. So that's our flight training. Another side of Kingdom Air Corps is Brooks Range Bible Camp. And for those that don't know, this is basically a VBS Bible camp that we put on for 2 weeks each summer for remote Alaskan village kids. So a bunch of our flight students will fly up with five or six of our airplanes and some of our pilots and instructors, 60 miles above the Arctic Circle, which is way, way above, way further up than where we are. It's about 400 miles, and it can take anywhere from 4 to 6 hours to fly. So our flight students and pilots will go to different villages, get kids, bring them back to the camp location, and then hold camp for 2 weeks. And camp is such an important thing because it gives our flight students an opportunity to have hands-on mission training, because they're a big part of putting the camp on. And then for the kids and the campers, it's the only 2 weeks throughout the entire year, really, where many of them hear about Jesus or the gospel at all. There's very few villages that have churches or have missionaries, and so they're just lost throughout the year. And this picture, this is our daughter Emma. She's on the lower left. She has had an opportunity to be a camp counselor for the past 3 years at Brooks Range. And this was her cabin, her teen cabin, just this past summer. And so that's been a really, really neat opportunity. So an update for Brooks Range. Brooks Range has been something that's been growing for a long time. This summer we had a record number of campers. We had right around 100. Between the 2 weeks, which for Brooks Range is huge. And now there's a development of a year-round Zoom Bible study that the kids and campers can be a part of. And so usually when we would go in and do the 2-week Bible camp, it would be 2 weeks, We administer to the kids, and then we leave until next year. Well, now there's this Bible study set up over Zoom, and there's 15 campers that regularly do it each week. And so there's more discipleship that happens all throughout the year, which is really, really big for the kids. So that's our flight training, and that's our Bible camp.
Okay. So here, I'm going to talk about, just for a couple of minutes, volunteers that come up. There we go. Yep, sorry. I work with a lot of volunteers. We have a lot of people that come up to do all different kinds of work. So we have construction work that happens. I'm not going to get the right spot. Sorry, guys. Eventually, it will get there. Okay, did I skip one? Yep, this is a work team that came up from Hagerstown, Maryland. Okay, it's fine. It's just, there's a lot of people that come up. We have a lot of work in the kitchen. We have a lot of housekeeping work. We have a lot of construction work. People come up to do firewood. We could not operate without. And our girls work a lot to help with babies and in the kitchen and all kinds of fun stuff. So there's a lot of people. We served between 15 and 16,000 plates of food from May to September this last year. So we have a lot of people coming and going, volunteer flight instructors. So we have so many people that come up, and God does amazing things with the volunteers. They think they're coming up to serve us, which they totally are, and God uses them for the ministry, but he also meets them where they're at and ministers to them too. And it's really just an amazing time. We love the summertime for all the people.
We don't want to shortchange this side of the ministry of Kingdom Air Corps. I mean, it's a flight training ministry, so it's all about airplanes, and then there's camp. But the part that Stacy talked about is so, so important. And there is actually three really exciting things that happened this summer. And Vic had alluded to those a little bit. We have a picture of each one. Okay, so one of the things that we got finished up this summer was we have a triplex. It's called a triplex. It's a big housing unit. I think it's 24 feet wide by 70 long. It's a big, long building. And back in 2020, we raised it up, poured a full foundation underneath it, and then set it back down. And so we have the bottom part that was being developed for all kinds of different staffing. Like Vic said, the plans for Kingdom Air Corps are to grow. There's a vision for 60 flight students per year, and we have 20 now. So there's a big vision. And without infrastructure and housing, we can't do that. And so we finished the triplex. It's all finished. And the basement part, and it's already housing different volunteers. And so this is the main room, like a shared kitchen area, and it's all been finished up. So that was a really, really great thing to have finished up this year. And then another thing that we have finished up is our auto shop. For years, we've needed an auto shop so that the people that are working on our fleet of different vehicles aren't in there in the way of the pilots and the mechanics. And so this was a huge project that we finished up this summer. It's getting heat put into it right now, so it'll be used starting this winter. And then the last one is there's a water line project that we needed for infrastructure. We have a well that's about 3,000 feet away from the main part of our property, and we needed to get the water from that well up to the center of the property so it could be sort of a hub. Well, we had a team of people come from Maryland this year, and they dug a trench, excavated it, rented all of the equipment, and did it all in about 4 days. And this is, just to give you an idea, it's a 12-feet deep trench to put a water line in, 3,000 feet. So they dug it, put the water line in, put the electrical line in, and then backfilled it. In this picture, you can see the water. So on that day, we stood there because they turned the well on, and it took about an hour. But the water finally started flowing, and so now we've got water at this location, and we can now expand the whole rest of the property. And it's a really big deal, and we didn't do any of the work, nor did we spend any of the money on it. It was all done by volunteers and for this work team. And so the Lord is really, really at work in other ways outside of the flight training too. So those were some exciting things from this summer. So the volunteers are not the only ones that work. Stacy and I do have roles. We are super busy, and we're just going to talk about what we do here for a minute.
My job first, I am hospitality supervisor. So kitchen, dining hall, and housekeeping is what I oversee. So I will work with the volunteers, scheduling all of our cooks that come up. We run a communal kitchen and dining hall from May to September. So 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. Volunteer cooks that come up. It is not a paid position. We will work on the menu. We'll work on getting food from Anchorage. We have a Costco in Anchorage, which is really helpful, but that's still 90 miles away. So I have a staff member who's my purchaser. She'll drive down and pick up the groceries and bring it back in a trailer once a week. The volunteers that do the cleaning, the housekeeping, anything, cleaning up the dining hall, any kind of all, there's just so much stuff that we're doing. So I have between 50 and 100 volunteers that will come through my department throughout the course of the summer. So there's a lot. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot. Yep, okay, so the way that I describe it, it's kind of like a camp. We will all meet together for breakfast, we'll have devotions, we'll clean up, and then everybody will go their separate ways. So the construction workers will go do their thing, my people will go do their thing, the students will go study, and then we'll come back for lunch, spend time eating together, having fun, then clean up and then leave again until dinner time, and then a lot of times after dinner there's stuff that goes on. So 6 p.m. So normally our work day is from about, for my work day, it's 7 to about 9 every day for the summer, 18 weeks. It's, we have a lot of fun.
We're all super glad that Stacy does what she does, because if she didn't, we'd be hungry. We'd have dirty toilets and dirty beds, and so we're appreciative of her ministry. My role is human resources and staff support, and so my main focus is on the other missionary families. And so we have 12 or 13. This picture is a little bit outdated. And so I focus on these folks through all kinds of administration, payroll, job descriptions, you know, all of that stuff that seems kind of boring. But I really enjoy it. And then there's also an interpersonal side where if there's any struggles that staff members or other volunteers have that are, if they're butting heads with somebody at work or they're struggling with finances or their marriage or anything like that, my office is sort of an open door where they can come and they can initiate discussion and conversation about that type of stuff. I'm not necessarily equipped to counsel them out of difficulties, but it's a first step, it's an outlet, and it's a way to facilitate help. And so, it's been a great thing, and I've enjoyed doing it very much. And you know, one thing I like to mention about our roles, too, they're super foundational. And a lot of time people can think, it's not important, it's no big deal. I actually thought that when we first started. I thought, really, does Kingdom AmeriCorps really need these things? But I've learned that in order for us to have ministry and to have all these volunteers come, if there's no food, if there's no sheets clean, if there's dirty bathrooms, we don't have a ministry. If we have staff members that are burdened with all of their own administrative things, dealing with all of their support raising issues, if they don't have a place to come when they've got personal issues, it's like a bike. If you think of Kingdom AmeriCorps, the whole ministry as like a bike, roles like ours could kind of be thought of as the chain. There's no chain, you can pedal and pedal and pedal, but you never get anywhere. And so we've really enjoyed doing that. We still do, and it's a blessing for us that the Lord has given us those things to do. So we are starting to get towards the end of our presentation, and I just want to have a little bit of a closing time back on that scripture, Matthew, from Matthew 16 this morning. We've talked a lot about what God's vision is through Kingdom AmeriCorps. But he's also got a vision for the rest of us, not just for missionaries, but for everybody. But, so these scriptures, they deal with self-denial and giving up your life for Christ. What does that mean for the average person in the American church? Not everybody's called to be a missionary, so what does that look like? Well, there's a quote I found by a guy named Louis Giglio, and I just want to share that with you. I think he can describe it a whole lot better than I can, and then we'll go from there. So Louis says, most of us desire to be comfortable, safe, and secure. We like things to be orderly in our lives, not chaotic. What could be wrong with having a nice family, a good job, a routine? None of those things are deadly in and of themselves. Trouble arises when the desire for safety and security becomes the theme of our lives. On the surface, everything looks fine. The problem is we might forget that in the grand scheme of things, namely eternity, we have about 5 seconds on earth to make our lives count. Comfort and familiarity are not what Jesus points us towards. God wants to help us see that there is a fight to be fought, a race to be run, something of eternal significance to be contended for. He calls us to greater purpose. So don't settle for comfort. Step forward in faith, even when you don't know anything other than you're far out with God on the end of the limb, believing that he wants to make his fame known to this generation of people. If you move in faith, God will always breathe life on your journey. And so we feel like that's a message that we have to share along with the ministry of Kingdom AmeriCorps, because we're all called to follow those scriptures. And it looks different for everybody, but those scriptures are clear. We're all called to follow that. So we are very appreciative of the time that we've had this morning. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting us come. We're going to be available afterwards, I think, in a Sunday school class for all kinds of different questions. But we just have two quick things that we would ask of you. Number one, you can pray for us. You can pray for our family, that we'd continue to be able to live out those scriptures in our own lives too. Because we have all kinds of struggles, just like everybody. And we want to be faithful, and so please pray for us in that. And if anybody would be interested in supporting our ministry, either financially or through prayer, we'd love to talk to you about how to do that. And again, any other questions you have, we look forward to answering those. And thanks again for your time.